The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen CPAs and Consultants. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 and 96.3 FM, KWLM.
And back in studio, managing partner with Christensen PLLP, Joel Gratz. Joel, good to see you.
Hey, good morning, Bill. How's it going?
Real good. And you brought another expert in with
you. I have so many of these that it's so great to have such a solid firm. But yeah, today we've got Kennedy Sommerfeld in studio.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, good to see you, Kennedy. You were saying you actually were on the radio back in your high school days.
I sure was.
Yeah, what was that in reference to?
That was for, I believe it was for tennis back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how long have you been with the firm?
I'm actually somewhat new. I've been here about 2 months now, but I've enjoyed every minute of it so far.
Right. Now, you have an office over, do you have an office in Litchfield or no?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We do have an office in Litchfield, but ironically, again, born and raised in Litchfield. I'm not trying to give her a portfolio on the radio, but she actually works remote, isn't that right?
I do. I work out of New Ulm right now from my home office.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
So how was your drive up then today?
Early, but it was good.
It was dark, right?
Yeah.
Any deer on the move?
There was a couple, but not too bad.
Yeah, because you're down in that area there and you get in that river valley, there can be plenty of deer out there.
Yep. So. We see plenty of them there.
Right.
You hunt still, Bill?
No. Just with my car, but luckily I
you do a good job at it, if I remember right. So.
Luckily, I haven't hit any for a long time, but I always think I'm jinxing myself when I say that. So.
Yeah, we'll stop talking about it.
I saw about a half a dozen of them this morning coming in. So yeah.
I think they're starting rut. My son's told me that it's starting, so it should be ready to roll.
What about the moose? Have you seen it yet?
You know, I've been asked that question a million times because, and I hate to take up time here. I'm sorry, Kennedy.
It's okay.
So if you draw a straight line from where it was saw, like south of Atwater to where we seen it by Green Lake, I'm literally in the middle of that, like almost identical, and we have not seen it. But I told my boys, if you do see it at the deer stand, do not shoot it.
Right.
So hopefully they'll listen. But no, we have not seen it. But a lot of folks that we know very close have. So that's crazy. Yeah. I've never seen one local here. Have you?
No, huh?
No, I haven't either.
But they've been some great pictures and video of it. And right in Spicer, right in town, basically.
Yeah.
And actually, I think it's the same moose that actually probably was first sighted in Iowa that kind of made its way right up. They've been kind of tracking it.
It's kind of crazy. Actually, in Mankato, we just had a cougar in Mankato. Mm-hmm. Right in my sister's cul-de-sac, and so we have pictures on all their security cams. So that was kind of crazy too, actually.
I think I'd rather have the moose than the cougar, I think, but I don't know.
Well, Joel, a topic today that's going to be very timely now for our employers, coming up, a change in the Minnesota law, and I know you touched on this a little bit, but you brought the expert in today.
Yeah, we did. I forget how many months ago it was when they first brought up this new legislation. Again, we're talking about Minnesota state legislation, and it's the Minnesota Earned Sick and Safe Time Act, or provision, I'm sorry, and that was passed in May in the session. So I think we actually spoke to it in June when we didn't have a lot of information. And I think they just, isn't it right, Kennedy? They just posted a bunch of questions, answers, and what it means. And it's effectively a January 1st, 24. You need to be compliant on that day. Isn't that right, Kennedy?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. There's no exemption to this other than federal employees, independent contractors, and then certain building and construction employees who have like a valid waiver that they've signed to exempt them from that. No small exemption. The only requirements are is an employee has to work at least 80 hours at your company in a year. If they're a new employee, they're still accruing even though they haven't worked 80 hours, but once they hit that 80-hour mark, that's when they can start using that time.
Right. So it affects basically everybody, Bill, and that's what's, I wouldn't say scary. I'm not saying people are going to go to jail for this.
No.
If you're not in compliance, I'm sure there'll be a grace period here.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter if you have one employee or 100. It doesn't matter if they're seasonal. So if they work for you, in the spring through end of fall, and if you get that 80 hours in and you go on unemployment, they still have the ability to use that in season.
Mm-hmm.
So it is let's say migrant workers who are on the payroll for, 4 weeks, in theory, they would have to have this ability to take this leave. So is there examples of what that leave is and what that exactly means for the people out there?
Like specific reasons they can take that time off?
Right.
Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah.
It can be used for like mental and physical illness, treatment and preventative care, family members' mental and physical illness treatment and preventative care, domestic abuse, sexual assault, stalking of an employee or family member, and family members include anyone almost.
You can assign that.
Yeah, and you can even, outside of a family member, you can designate one individual, not blood related whatsoever, for that year to take this time off for.
Yeah. Sounds pretty wide-reaching. Yeah. I mean,
it is very, the net has been cast over basically the entire state. Like, there's almost no way to get out of this.
Nope.
And as far as, and it's paid time, right?
Correct.
And it's on the employer's cost. There is not a government fund to help you with this. So if you didn't have these type of benefits, meaning if they're seasonal, they may not qualify into your normal employee benefit plan. So when you think of benefits and PTO, paid time off, in our firm, you know, it's you have to work at least 32 hours on average, you know, and have to have full-time, that'd be full-time status for us. And if you're part-time, you wouldn't get some of these benefits. We have a lot of interns. We have a lot of seasonal people. They normally would not get this. Now they do, and it's paid time out of the employer's pocket that you normally would not have, you know. So the worker's not there. They call in. I got to deal with something today. You can't question it. Am I right on that?
Correct.
You cannot question it as an employer. And if you were counting on them, you know, at 5 o'clock on one day and the next morning they call you at 8, you cannot question it. They are allowed to go and you pay them.
Correct.
For just that day then, or what is it?
If they call in for just that day, that's the day you pay them for.
How many days do they get?
They can go up to 3 days in a row without having to provide any type of documentation. But after that 3 days, then your employer can request some type of documentation as to why you've been gone.
Right. And let's say they burn up their 3 days. How many days do they have if they... Is there a limit to how much they can use in a given year where we have to pay them as employers?
The maximum, at least the minimum requirement for the maximum, is at least 48 hours a year.
48 hours.
And they accrue that at 1 hour per every 30 hours physically worked.
Mm-hmm. So it's a real thing. If you don't already have these type of benefits for seasonal and part-time people, a lot of people out there, I'm guessing people, meaning employers, have a decent and good benefit package where they have paid time off already built in, bereavement pay, all these other things. How does that work then, Kennedy, with coordinating benefits if I already have those as an employer?
Sure. If you already have a paid time off plan and it's called just paid time off, as long as you meet those minimum requirements, you really don't have to do anything. As long as they are at least getting that 48 hours in a year, accruing 1 hour per 30 hours, and they can use it for those reasons listed on the act, then you're totally fine. You don't have to call it earned sick and safe. It can just be called a PTO plan.
But you have to be careful is that where you define what benefits apply to. So that's the only provision you may have to change.
Sure.
And that's the part right now, I think, legally, and I'm not an attorney. Neither is Kennedy.
No.
And neither is Bill. You know, those are the things that we have to square up to make sure you identify what benefits apply based upon your hours worked or that's the status that you may have to modify.
Correct.
in your employee handbook, correct?
Yeah. Say like you have a vacation, you have 10 days vacation and 3 days sick. Mm-hmm. You may have to rename that plan just so that it fits within that, 6 days of sick time. That's where you may have to change the name. But the plan itself, you may not have to do anything.
Right. So we are recommending, you know, we've got 2 months-ish or a little bit less than 2 months before we have to roll the plan out. Isn't there also paperwork, Kennedy? You have to tell your employees about this so they're aware of it. You can't sweep under the rug and not tell them.
Correct. Yeah. By January 1 or the start of their employment, whichever one is later, they must provide a notice to employees informing them about this new law. On that notice, there is some verbiage on there that you have to have, and you can add more if you'd like, but you have to have those minimum points on there. And then ways you can provide this to them is posting a notice at each location where employees frequently visit, where they can see it. You can do an electronic copy, or you can use like a web-based thing. Like say your company uses Teams, you can post it out there so that they know about this change. I believe you also have to post a poster in your workplace as well, along with this notice that you have to give to each employee.
Right. So you have to be I know Bill, your face right now is like, holy buckets, that's a lot. and it is a lot. There's a lot of things you have to do and you just cannot not tell your employees about it. And I think there's penalties if you don't communicate that. So at a minimum, right. We're telling folks, you know, talk to your attorney, get or your HR advisor. And our firm does have some of that consulting available, including Kennedy and on the more compliance side. Not that Kennedy's an HR consultant, but this really does fit into HR. So you have to at least look at your employee handbook before Jan 1. Mm-hmm. Talk to an attorney if you need to, or an employment attorney. Get it modified to be in compliance, and make sure you tell your employees on January 1. I mean, that's what you have to do. And when you start onboarding new people, it has to be in the packet, if you will, correct, of your onboarding materials, along with everything else from a federal perspective. But again, for listeners who just joined us, this is a Minnesota provision that just got put into place or signed into law by the governor at the end of May of 2023, effective 2024. There is another payroll like or benefits package provision that's coming next year, and we don't have to get into that to make it confusing. But this is phase one, which is January 1, 2024.
Is a similar circumstance available in other states? I mean, is there any kind of track record out there as to whether this is tough to comply with? Or
I haven't seen much about it being tough in different states yet. I feel like it's a very new thing.
It is very new. Yeah. I guess in my opinion, in the union, we're probably in the top 10 providing these type of benefits. California has probably been doing this for a few years, I'm guessing. I don't know that. I shouldn't even have probably said that on the radio, but it's out there, but we're on the cutting edge, if you want to call it that, on the bleeding cutting edge, mm-hmm, of how to do this for folks. And I think in our state, we are very employee friendly. Which is not a bad thing. I'm not trying to say that at all. But if you're going to rank us by employee friendliness, I got to believe we're in the top 10 easily, including other benefits, you know, as well that are required and mandated by the government to do this.
Where do you think the real impetus to do this was? What was kind of the driving force behind adopting this, do you think?
Kennedy, you want to take a crack at that?
There?
I think... I think it came back from COVID. People didn't have time off and didn't want to go a day without being paid. And so they'd go to work sick, but then that leads to them getting other people sick and more people out. I think they're just trying to help the employee here to not be afraid to take that time off when they're sick to save other people from getting sick.
Yeah.
By mandating it.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
That was an excellent answer, by the way. I wasn't even thinking of the COVID connection, but that's exactly right. She's exactly right. I think that's exactly where it came from. Our democratically controlled House, Senate, and governorship saw that and felt there was more benefits that needed to be mandated because people weren't feeling comfortable. That's 100% score. She can go home early today because that was an excellent answer. That's exactly probably where it came from.
Yeah. Well, and you know, we keep hearing there's such a shortage of daycare and things like that. And I think, you know, like you mentioned, a lot of times it might not be the employee themselves, but it's maybe a family member that all of a sudden gets sick or whatever, and they don't have any options, I
correct,
guess. So,
right. Know. I think they felt a lot of people were taking this time to care for others unpaid, mm-hmm, which create, you know, more distress financially, mentally, on all of that. So I that has got to be the motivation, mm-hmm, as Kennedy mentioned.
Yeah. So as an employer now, you know, it's one more thing, right?
It's one more thing.
And you're going to almost have to, it's going to cost more, isn't it, ultimately, do you think, or not?
Well, it has to, right? Mm-hmm. So if I assume people are coming on working this day and all of a sudden they're not, I either have to pay someone else to fill it in, or I get behind, or someone has to work overtime, mm-hmm, right? I mean, in theory, that's how it has to work. And I got to pay that person when they're not there. And at Christensen, I feel we have a good, decent PTO. We have a lot of days that are available, and we want people to use them. So we do have some of that built into our capacity and our billing rates and all that stuff. So we have some of that built in, but a lot of folks maybe don't. And it's going to cost at least, I would say, 50% of the employers, because most are in that 5 or less employees probably, and they're doing their thing. They're working hard. The owner's right there in the trench with the workers. And when that person is sick, it's a big impact, which is why they felt, like Kennedy said, I need to come to work even though I'm sick. Mm-hmm. And that probably COVID has changed our mindsets on that, where if you're sick, you should probably stay home. You know, in the old days, Bill, when you and I were working, we were probably had the cold and we had the medicine right, sure, with, and we were just trying to get it done, you know, and that's how, yeah, we were trained to do that. And
I probably, you know, spread it around a lot.
Probably
more.
Did. And, my wife always gets mad at me, and I, yeah, you know, I'm not bragging, but I haven't called in sick that I can remember. I've been blessed with the ability to be able to keep working through that or not sick as often. I know you, being on the radio, you're the guy, right? If you're out, I don't know what the plan is, right? You know,
well, they've got a plan, but...
it's not maybe a great plan. And for me, I realize I can just call in sick and just get behind, I guess, in my job. But some jobs like yours, I mean, when you're the guy and you're gone, you're sick, gosh, the whole world...
Everything gets shuffled pretty quickly. And we don't quite have as deep a bullpen as we had at one time.
I suppose not, right? You know, I mean, the same deal. Our bullpen is, you know...
Kind of the nature of, of a lot of businesses. They're running a little leaner and meaner, I guess. So you kind of alluded to it. Sounds like a lot of seasonal workers probably weren't getting any benefits to speak of. And
zero.
And, you know, so they... You know, and they, you know, they can get sick too, I guess, like anybody else.
Sure.
But you think there's going to be abuse out here of this? I mean, human nature. Some people will probably work as hard as ever, and others will look for, well, here's a crack, you know, and I can slip through it, you know.
There's absolutely a chance, but there's a, once you've used that time, you don't get more for those reasons listed. So if you end up using all that time for whatever reason and you don't have anything left and you come back and say, hey, I'm sick because of one of these reasons, the employer is not required to give you extra time off.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, there is a cap at least. I mean, it could have been endless, I suppose, or limitless. And that would have been really unfortunate. But yeah, you don't have a lot of options as an employer until they hit to that level. I agree.
Yeah. So you think there'll be any problem then with everybody getting up to speed on this? I'm, like you said, there may be a grace period or...
I'm assuming there will be on anything that's relatively far-reaching like this. But the expectation is they've told us enough to get yourself ready. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a compliance arm yet necessarily to go out and audit or check that stuff out. It will be through complaints of the employee.
I agree.
Right? That is where the self-governance is going to happen. And one day I upset an employee and they're like, wait a minute, I never got my EE or ESST provisions told to me. There is probably a hotline to call.
Yep.
And they will call the hotline. And then I think that's when the government sticks their people on the employers. So the balance of power of how this is governed is probably in the employee's hands, if I was to be honest.
I would agree.
Thank you. That's good. So I was kind of going out there on a limb there, but that's where it's probably going to happen. And there's a lot of provisions out there in the world are like that. But I think there's getting to be more bite and more ramifications of not informing and not being transparent and not communicating.
Yeah. Are there some bad apples out there, though, that, are really exploiting their workers, do you think, at all? Or, we had some of these kind of heavily publicized things where they're employing underage people and,
I think that's better than it was. I don't see a lot of that in our practice. I think all the people we work with, I think, are legit and do what they're supposed to do. And they honestly, again, Minnesota Nice, want to comply and don't want to upset the apple cart, screw anybody, whatever it is. I think they are generally good people. And people will try their best, which is why I think there'll be a grace period in this state. Again, are there people abusing it? For sure, I'm sure. I don't see it very often. I don't know if you've seen it, Kennedy.
I have not seen it, no.
Yeah, yeah.
So you mentioned if somebody has questions on this, is there a place they can go to try to make sure they're up to speed on it?
If they have a payroll provider, I would recommend starting there because I feel like everyone in our field should know a little bit about this. But if they don't know the answer to that, you can always go to the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry, and they got a lot of good facts. They got the hotline number on there, and they have other people that you can talk to via email or phone call to help answer those questions.
So if we Google Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry, it should get you pretty close.
Yes. Yeah. Even Googling earn sick and save time. It should Minnesota Department of Labor should be right up there at the top.
Are we planning on, Kennedy, not trying to put you on the spot, are we going to have something on our website that can be referenced as well?
I believe so, and I believe we're going to send out some type of thing to our clients to let them just put it in their ear, too, and let them know to ask questions if they have any.
Yeah.
But we just want to do our part at least letting them know about it.
Yeah, ChristiansenCPA.com would be our website. And again, we have a relatively new person working in our marketing department, Cece, if you're listening. Thank you for all you do. And one of her jobs is to try to get that website up to date. And I tell you, that's a full-time job almost by itself, which is hard. So we're trying to figure all that out. But Minnesota, what was it again? Minnesota?
Earn Sick and Save, or the website? Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry.
Yeah. I always go to the revenue side, but that's it's a whole other arm of our government that's going to be implementing this. So
Yeah, that's it. I didn't even know we had a department like that. So
we do.
And you wouldn't as an employee necessarily unless you are disgruntled. Then you'd have a reason. And I'm not trying to say all of a sudden now the inbox of that is going to be just packed full because Joel said, and that's not what I want. But it's there for a reason, right? It's there for a reason to help employers and employees who feel they're being mistreated.
All right. Anything else before we wrap her up today?
I have nothing, I guess, from a business perspective, but we can probably visit the rest of the day about deer hunting and other things in the crops. But in the Litchfield game, that football game, that's going to be intense. Painesville won in volleyball last night, I saw.
Unfortunately,
Belgrade lost. Belgrade plays today at 10, right? Football?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty soon.
Right.
My partner, Sarah DeRue, her son, Brett, is a big contributor in the team. And that team rolled on ACGC last week.
And he had a great game.
He did have a great game. His coverage is, I mean, Isaiah Rennie is one of our best, and he took him out of the game. Yeah, he did. Jevin Williams, you know, had an injury where he wasn't able to run, which was unfortunate. Would have maybe changed the game somewhat, but I tell you, Belgrade was, they were ready. So I give them mad credit for that.
Well, we'll see what happens today, I guess, up at the Fargo Dome. They had quite a game 2 years ago against the same team. Really high scoring, and they pulled it out of the hat. We'll see what it's like today.
Yeah, we've played both teams, and gosh, they're good in different ways, but I'd have to do the nod to Belgrade at this point. I think they have a few more options, threats on offense and defense probably, but... Sorry, Kennedy.
That's okay.
You've been watching these teams? I'm sorry. Bill and I get into this a lot. And our future goal is to have a podcast where Bill and I just play and talk all day long.
I'm sure a lot of people would tune into that, actually.
You know what? I've been trying to get into Linder's in his ear there, so we'll see where this goes.
Well, I know they're always looking for more content, so that would certainly be something.
Content, I love it.
We wouldn't probably be able to, of course, pay you anything.
Oh, is that right? So it's volunteer?
You'd have to file with the ESST.
You know what's great, though? Anytime with you, Bill, I enjoy. So I would actually, I'm not going to say this out loud, but I might consider doing it for free. But anyway, very good.
All right. Well, Kennedy, thanks for stopping in. Joel, and both of you have a great Thanksgiving, too.
Thank you.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, it is that time. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, all right. Take care.